The Workday Replay from Money FM 89.3. Mind Your Business with Howie Lim, only on Money FM 89.3.
This is Mind Your Business, where we look at the SME sector here in Singapore. After all, it powers half our economy and also hires about 70% of our people. Now, halal-friendly travel is one of the world's fastest-growing travel sectors. Since 2016, the number of Muslim travelers has grown nearly 30%. And a recent study projects that over the next decade, that sector's contribution to the global economy will jump to $300 billion. Now, how is a website which has consolidated information for the Muslim traveler cashing in on this growing sector? We speak to Mikhail Goh and also Elaine T, co-founders of Halal World Travel. Guys, thanks so much for coming today.
Thanks for inviting us.
So when did the light bulb moment come, so to speak? I understand you were in Seoul when that happened. Bing! What happened?
I guess it's really like, you know, any other entrepreneur who found a problem. We start from a very difficult problem first, right? So me, myself, you know, I'm a Muslim. And back then when I was in Seoul studying, for 6 months, I thought, you know, in the age of the internet, you know, with Google and, you know, you've got TripAdvisor, Lonely Planet and so on, it would be easy for me to find information with regard to, you know, halal food, which is one of the core things, very important things for Muslims, right? So, foolishly, we went there and we realized that, oh, no, there are a lot of things that are not available. And not just available, but maybe you see, you know, a listing online and you're not quite sure whether you want to make a 45-minute commute down, whether it's still open or not. So we figure out, hey, you know, this really big problem because, you know, Muslims are increasingly...
The problem was that the information wasn't there or that the outlets that provide halal food weren't there?
I think there's several levels, right? Even if they were there, there's no rich media to actually, you know, cover that. So we weren't quite sure, you know, what exactly that place is before even going down. It's not like, you know, you can go TripAdvisor and find it. No, recently you can. It's starting to get easier and easier. But the rich, the immersive information is hard to find.
Okay.
You know, then on the second level, I think back then now there are a lot of stores popping out. Like in Tokyo itself, I think there's, like on our app itself, there's like 150, you know, places listed just in Tokyo itself. But back then it was very little, you know.
And back then was like just a few
four years ago.
Yeah. So it sounds like, though, trying to consolidate the information might have been really challenging, too. Mm. You'd still have to take that 45-minute trek down to the middle of I don't know where Seoul to figure out if this store is still available.
So what we do is actually we have a global network of, you know, either writers or contributors who on a daily, you know, quite often they write into us, hey, I found this place, you know, I've been there, this is my picture, this is the menu, and that's been very helpful because we're just a team of 26 or 27 people, right? We can't...
Traipsing the globe.
We can't go all over the place, right?
Yeah.
So we reach 9.4 million, you know, Muslims every month. But we really need the help of the other millions and millions of Muslims out there.
When you started and you started to put all of this information, you realized that there really was a gap in this area and people just were responding quite positively, weren't they?
Yes. So I think Elaine can share. One of our first article was actually the Hong Kong article that we wrote.
Yeah, it was top three local halal food in Hong Kong. And I think at that point of time, you know, even people always talk about halal food and stuff, but they are missing the point of it. So when you go to non-Muslim majority countries, you'll want to try the local delicacies. So, you know, we pushed out our article and I think the number of reads actually surprised us as well. Back then it was, I think, five and slowly grew to 10K. And then, yeah, I mean, it became one of our most read articles. And as we slowly uncovered places in Seoul, places in Tokyo, these kind of places where, you know, yeah, they're really looking for local food.
How did the university degree help? Because anytime starting something new, you're in uncharted waters, so to speak. I'm not sure any sort of course of study could have helped you out, but did it?
Well, I guess I was fortunate enough to actually go through very intensive marketing research courses and learning how to, you know, look at data, clean data, you know, analyze.
This was
data.
Before, after starting?
Oh, that was before starting.
Okay.
You know, we did like projects with real brands. Then, you know, you really broke down the pieces. It helps you form the basis of research, which is what HHWD is, right? So HHWD have Halal Travel, my brand, is actually sitting on millions and millions of data points. So from, you know, consumer preferences, what do they like to purchase? What do they bring along when they travel? It's not just food and, you know, like your typical things that you think of, but it's about, you know, recently there's a topic about safety as well. You know, the world is getting more and more scary, right? So we were there.
You're talking about physical safety, not food safety, right?
No, emotional. Yeah. There are a lot of things that encompass that, right? So we were in Christchurch 2 weeks before the shootings happened, together with the Tourism New Zealand, people, right? So we were commissioned as a project there to really open up the country and things like that. And, you know, it was very unfortunate that it happened. But we see instances where, you know, Muslims are targeted across the world, you know. And, you know, safety is becoming a data point as well. Last time you just think, you know, it's just prayer and food, but now it's a lot of psychological things. So, and, you know, you know some countries aren't very welcoming to Muslims. So that plays a part in travel patterns and things like that. And that university courses really help us ground us and be able to analyze in a very deep level.
That's also fueling a greater aim that you have with HHWT, right? Tell us about it, Elaine.
Yeah, so I think, when we were in the business, we were just thinking about what exactly are we doing this. And I think it was really the incident where Mikhail and our other co-founder, Susanna, were in Tokyo when I think the question really came up from some non-Muslims, Japanese officials whom they were meeting, you know, at a really nice halal restaurant. And it's very, okay, so Japanese, they don't really eat lamb, but they actually made that trip down to that halal restaurant for the both of my co-founders and we're having tea. And suddenly the question came up of, you know, they just asked them, so why exactly are Muslims killing non-Muslims? And it was really genuinely a question of curiosity because unfortunately at that point of time, the Paris bombings just happened. And I think while tackling that question, it really just occurred to us that all these guides that we're doing, you know, everything, all inspiring Muslims to go out there and see the world, it really does exactly what my co-founders were doing at that point of time. It brings Muslims and non-Muslims together. And I think for a lot of people out there, when you're in the non-Muslim majority countries, it's the first time they're going to see a Muslim. It's that interaction that's really going to make it for them and, you know, showing them that these are really who Muslims are. And they're not your, you know, what you see on the news, the scary people you see on the news. They're really just like you and I. So they might look a bit different from them, but, you know, at the heart of it, I think it's really that we're looking for, to bring people of different backgrounds together and ultimately bringing peace to the world.
How pressurizing does that feel? Something that started out as almost a fun thing, I'm sure, wanting to help out other Muslims find places to eat, places to travel, and suddenly you have this responsibility, if you will, to forward a larger movement.
I guess it's not really political, but rather what the world needs now. And the best example I'd like to give, like Spider-Man, right? So he woke up with all these abilities, like, you know, then suddenly he has to, oh my goodness, with great power comes great responsibility, you know. So for us, I think the case for us is, you know, it's not political. It's something that the world really needs right now because there are too much things that divide us, right? And I think it became natural as the brand progressed 4 years later, right, that hey, you know, is we have this power and therefore responsibility to do something like that. And I think the audience has responded quite well in every time that I give a case, right, which is the Christchurch incident, right, where people choose to look at, oh, you know, who's the shooter, how many people he killed, and that dominates the news landscape, right, you know, all around the shooter and everything like that. But we focus on, we publish a lot of articles about, you know, how people are responding on the ground, you know, the solidarity, you know, how non-Muslims are helping Muslims, you know, through this very difficult time. And our audience really get it and they like it because they've never seen anyone do something like that before. You know, it's not just about money or, you know, whatever you may associate with a startup for us. You know, there is a real vision here and there's a real importance and need for this in this time of.
Did you know, though, when you started, that it may evolve into something like this? Was this a challenge that maybe you weren't quite prepared for at the time?
Well, we were told. We have a mentor, right? And he's very smart, you know. So
he had a crystal ball and he
told you. Yeah, actually, the first meeting, you know, the very first meeting, he said, you know, like, Mikhail, you're going to win a Nobel Prize. Like, what on earth are you talking about?
I just want to find new places to eat.
I think it took us a while. It took us a while to, you know, really, I think, see from our content and see from our community that, yeah, we really are doing something different by pushing all these people out there. And I think it's really with all the different experiences that our readers come back to us with. And we start to see that, you know, that's actually, you know, a result of what of the different guides that we pushed out. So it was pretty beautiful to see, actually.
How's the business doing?
It's great. It's great. As a startup itself, you know, I guess it would be a badge on our, you know, for us to say that we are profitable now. Yeah, not many startups are, you know. So that's one thing. And I think we're expanding quickly across the region.
Might you need more people?
Yeah,
26 correct, sounds like a bit few.
Oh yeah, correct. It's very, very small, you know, as compared to like 5,000 or whatever, you know. But the truth is that we're growing, and the client base is also growing. Like recently, we got Visa International, you know, over as a client, and we are closing bigger and bigger, you know, projects. But beyond that, the bigger people we work with, like Visa and so on, right, it just shows that they're interested in Muslims, and it propagates our vision of peace. You know?
That's also quite a huge pie you're gunning for.
Yeah.
So it's how are you utilizing latest tech, though?
Latest tech,
machine learning and all of those buzzwords that are flung around.
I guess, you know, like right now, as I mentioned just now, so HWCT sits on tons of data. You know, and we just
so you need help to sort of sift through all of that, right? Analyze it too.
And I guess the usage of machine learning and is really to understand the customer, the Muslim customer, faster than he understands himself. It's about predictive technology. You know, from there, you know, a greater, you know, offering products that are more relevant for them, and not like, oh, you know, some ad you see, you know, this is not relevant. You know, that's the question. Can we serve relevant content to them? Not just content, but advertisements that helps them make the trip better.
Mm.
So that's the core and the reason why we use machine learning and all these funky things.
Yeah, I understand from a consumer perspective. Yeah. After I've bought the black shoes, I don't need
any more shoes.
The 3,000 ads about black shoes anymore. Yeah. Elaine, what are your hopes for the site?
I think for us, it's always, you know, right now we're working with a number of quite a number of brands, tourism organizations. So definitely to bring the brand further into the world and to different regions, because right now we're focused on Southeast Asia. And definitely our hopes is really to expand it. So because the world is so huge, there are so many different Muslim populations in the various countries. So, and all of these people need the information. And also I think the other thing that we're working on, our marketplace. So for the longest of time, we've been serving content. And I think, you know, that's the other gap right now, looking at experiences and tours that, you know, are able to offer unique kind of immersive
organizing them, you mean?
Not so much organizing them, because like the team is limited.
Yeah.
So I think it's more of working with partners who are able to offer those kind
organize.
Of unique experiences.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Elaine T is co-founder along with Mikhail Goh of Have Halal Will Travel. You can check them out. HaveHalalWillTravel.com. That's the site. Guys, thank you so much.
Thank you.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg. Or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.